Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for attending. We're going to be talking about the differences between the chapters and the affiliates within the ASA. We're going to have a presentation by Walter Ruggiero, who is the president of the AMTAP. It is a new affiliation, the affiliation of theologians. Help me out, Walter, what's the?
The affiliation of theologians, ministers, and philosophers.
And philosophers, right, AMTAP. And it's a brand new group, so he's going to be talking about what their vision is for the group. And then Brian is going to talk about the affiliation of Christian biologists. And then we are going to open it up to the group, talk a little bit about a guidebook that we have. And hopefully we can generate some ideas on different affiliations that we could possibly get started. One idea that has come to mind is a mathematician organization and some others. So, Walter, I'm just going to hand it off to you, if you wouldn't mind just giving us an overview of AMTAP and what you're interested in doing. So you can take
Hey, fantastic. Away. Thank you. And when we were setting this up, since I don't have any video, I said that this is a little like acting in a Marvel movie or something. It's all CG from this end. But I hope everyone's having a great time there. If there was anyone who I promised that I would be physically there, I do apologize. I had expected to be on campus, had some things come up, and they were just unavoidable. But I'm glad to Zoom in and be a part virtually for this session. There were a couple things that I promised I would do. The first of those was talking about how the affiliation took shape. And so 2 years ago or so, we were meeting virtually, and there were different breakout times where people could get together with areas in which they were affiliated, and there was nowhere where I kind of felt that I fit in, and I thought there might be a number of others in the same boat who have a similar background. And my background is in ministry primarily, although I did work at the AAAS as part of the Dozer Project, the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, in a program called Science for Seminaries. And so my background is in that world and business and a number of other things. But anyway, I made the mistake, I'll call it a mistake, it was a happy mistake, if so, of asking the leadership at the ASA, what do you think about making a group for people like me, ministers, theologians, philosophers, whatever, although armchair philosopher at best. And they said, hey, that's a great idea. Why don't you do something about it? And so off to the races we went. And over the last couple years, we've been trying this and that and trying to figure out how to best draw people together, how best to support them. And particularly because this group has a wide philosophical, theological possibility, I'll say that, we wanted to make sure that it really had the DNA of the ASA at its core, particularly because affiliations don't necessarily need to be comprised of ASA members. And so we've been very slow, we've been very ginger, and I've been very much in touch with the ASA leadership about trying to make all of this happen. And in that process, Dana's position was created. I think that was all happening about the same time. I could be wrong, but she's been very influential in helping shape this and being a great sounding board, and in working with and receiving support from the ASA leadership, they've all just been super. And so the process of creating an affiliation or creating a chapter, I would imagine, is similar, is one in which you can expect a great deal of support from ASA leadership, a lot of good ideas, a number of people being sent my way who I didn't know before, attempts to connect us together. And I was really, again, hoping to be there, that I could shake some hands and meet some people, and that didn't work. But that's not through the ASA leadership that they're not trying to help me connect with others, others connect with me, and others be drawn into this. And a part of that was figuring out how to build meetings around events. And so we've had two winter symposiums. There have been events around those winter symposiums, a couple other events that we've structured. And the idea behind those was to create interest, begin creating some identity, begin creating some membership where individuals feel that they're a part of this affiliation. And we've only had a couple meetings over this time. And again, a lot of that is to tease out, parse out what it is that we're doing and who it is that might want to be on board and how we can keep it ASA-centric as opposed to simply a group that hangs ASA on the door and really just goes its merry way without any of the ethos of the ASA really leading it. And so one of our first meetings was designed around thinking about a team for the affiliation. And it's still something that we're developing. It's still something in process. Obviously, if there was a larger team, it wouldn't be important if I was there or not. And there are members of this affiliation, people who have been a part of the affiliation in various ways, who we are in the process of reaching out to and saying, hey, would you like to be part of this? Where are you going to come on board in a more official way? We just haven't done all of that work yet. And again, this has been a slow process. It's been a process where the leadership and I have been thinking and trying to get the right folks to make those invitations to get the right things in the door. And so creating interest for the group, again, we've done events around the winter symposium. We did have an initial meetup at last year's ASA annual meeting, and there will be one tomorrow morning as well. I believe it's at 7:30 there, and I will be with people in spirit. I wish I could be there physically. And I believe Dana's going to help lead that. And also for creating interest, we have had a couple events that have been Zoom events online, and we have brought in some ASA stalwarts to kind of frontline areas that we as ministers, theologians, and philosophers might get a perspective of where sort of the science is going or where some of the history is going. We've had, Ted Davis for history. We've had Jennifer Wiseman share about cutting edge findings in astronomy and really generated some fantastic questions. And as a matter of fact, if anybody is wondering where the video for that is, I just received a link for it a couple of days ago. And soon after the ASA meeting, I'm going to put out a blast to everybody on our email list, and we'll be moving forward with some of the conversation around that last meeting we did, I guess about a month and a half ago with Jennifer Wiseman. And so creating interest has been generated through contacts, through the ASA leadership, through our mailing lists, and also from individuals who are on those mailing lists, reaching out to friends, reaching out to colleagues, and just saying, hey, there's this neat thing happening. Why don't you come be a part? And we've had a number of folks come and join with us on meetings. All of our meetings have had, I would say, somewhere in the neighborhood of a fifth to a third of those participating who simply weren't part of the ASA at all. And that's the beauty of an affiliation, is it can be a sort of sticky group, a group that opens the windows to others outside of the ASA into the ethos of the ASA and the good things that we do in the ASA, and invites them not only to participate in that event, but ultimately to become connected with the ASA. And so we are in the process of continuing to develop this affiliation. I understand that one of the things Dana is going to do today is walk through the manual that she's created, and there's forms in it that we still need to fill out, and we've talked about getting together and getting those done. And so we're a brand spanking new affiliation. The ink's not even written, much less dried on our contracts or whatever it is that we need to put together. But there does seem to be a great deal of energy and excitement, both within the leadership and within those who are a part of this community, who are saying, hey, neat, I've got a place to be. And I've certainly, in developing it, used my contacts, both inside the ASA and outside of it, to try to bring people together. And we're in the process, as I started to say, of clarifying the identity and the purpose of the group. And we'll be more fully defining that. But again, it's probably premature to do that until we get our team together. And we have a group of folks who are saying, here's where we want to take this and what we want to do with it. Obviously, there's branding things. I'm asked already whether or not we have our logo yet. There's mission pieces. There's a lot of things that we are working towards, but certainly promoting healthy, open discussion around issues of faith and science in a collegial and a Christian ethos and a Christian way of embracing one another will certainly be central to our mission. As someone who has a ministerial and even a chaplaincy background, I want to see this be a group that can help embrace people who are young in their career and support them, but also be a place where we can come together. In the ASA, I feel like I've found my tribe, and I think that there are a lot of people out there who are looking for a place to belong. And one of the reasons for creating the affiliation is to say there is a place within the ASA that is specially set apart for those of you who have a ministry, theological, or philosophical background, and a place that you can come together and just enjoy one another and bat some of these very fascinating questions around and maybe come to different perspectives. We'll see. And so as far as establishing programming going forward, now that we've done a couple things, gotten a couple things under our belts, I'll be reaching out to the membership, finding out what's worked for those who have participated, what those who haven't participated are looking for, and et cetera. And so there's a quick overview of the AMTAP affiliation, which is just starting. And that's what I've got for you folks today.
Thank you, Walter. I'll make mention that one of the things that I've appreciated about the AMTAP group is that it's really grassroots. Finding those individuals that are going to bring something to the table, and you've been very intentional about doing that, Walter, so we appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to be speaking to you in my role as president of the Affiliation of Christian Biologists for just over a year now. I'm going to use an approach that's very similar to what Walter used in kind of discussing the history of the reactivation of an affiliate group that was dormant for several years. So it didn't start new when I became involved with it.
Let me go ahead and if you hit it, it might be because we've got Walter. There it goes.
Okay. So when I first started becoming more active in the ASA, probably started with the 1999 conference, ASA conference at John Brown University. I was introduced to the Affiliation of Christian Biologists there. I mean, I knew that when I joined the ASA, I had to select an affiliate group to be part of, but it just didn't seem like the group communicated with us or did anything. But I found when I started attending the conferences that they would meet at the conference and it was primarily a fellowship time, but also I think they exchanged syllabi. And there may be other things that I don't know that the affiliate group did, because I wasn't attending the conferences every year or on a mailing list or something. But that was my impression. And then, you know, after the early 2000s, you didn't really hear anything more about the affiliation of Christian biologists. And then about a little over a year ago, I think it was in May, it was in the spring of 2022, Dana sent out an email saying that she wanted to have a Zoom meeting to assess interest in the possibility of reactivating the affiliation of Christian biologists. And of course, I was very interested in that possibility. And there were a number of people that attended that meeting. And there seemed to be enough interest in that meeting that people wanted to move forward. But one take-home lesson that I took from that meeting was that if it can't just be about fellowship, that the group, whatever form it took, it had to actually do something else in addition to the fellowship. Fellowship is good, and not knocking that at all. But the message that seemed to be clear from the group was that they wanted it to actually be doing something. So, and then the next step was to identify officers, and Dana put out a plea saying, okay, who's interested, who's willing to serve? And so I stepped up, and Carlos Pinkham stepped up, and then sort of decided on a handshake almost that I would be president and he would be vice president. And then we started hunting for a secretary, webmaster kind of combination. There's not been much in the way of webmasting or mastering happening just yet, but maybe there will be. And eventually we found Angela Fletcher, who is a graduate student at Ball State University in biology, and she's a master's degree student. And so she's been taking the minutes at meetings, officer meetings that we have by Zoom, and also sessions, recording some things about the sessions that we've had as a group. And so then our next step was to talk about, you know, what's the next step in getting reactivated? We've got officers. We started talking about possible projects, you know, that we could undertake as an affiliate group. I was sort of being maybe some might say anal retentive, I would say organized. Thinking we gotta move beyond the handshake mode of getting officers, that we need to have a selection process, and we need to have kind of in writing some concrete things about how we operate and things like that. And you know, so I'm thinking we need a constitution, we need bylaws, and I got definite kind of pushback on that from the ASA leadership, and maybe even to some extent from Dana saying, yeah, we don't really need to quite worry about that just yet. I think, you know, in the past year, they're starting to realize the merits of having that, and we probably will be going down that road at some point. But I think they were more interested in us just starting to do things. And we thought we should have a mission statement at least to talk about why we exist, to give us at least some focus to govern or guide us in our choices of activities. And so this was something that we came up with, and we kind of put it out there for the ACB membership to comment on, especially at the last year's meeting that we had, where we had a meetup for breakfast. We had an opportunity for getting feedback from people. So just to read it, the mission statement says, the affiliation of Christian biologists exists to encourage fellowship and networking among Christian biologists, and that's what they were about before, to provide support to them in all stages of their life, education, and career, to serve as a forum for discussion of issues at the interface of both mainstream biology and Christian thought, and to educate scientists and the public about the harmony between biology and the Christian faith. And I think that covers really, you know, what we're passionate about and what we really would like to see our group do. And this can really manifest itself in a lot of different ways. We, as part of this, we also felt like we needed to design a logo. And this was a process that seemed to take a long time. I must admit, I was getting a little impatient, but I know that Mark McEwen was buried in other work that he had to do. And so we just had to kind of wait our turn. We were the first ones going through this, and you know, the ASA, as they're thinking about this, they don't want this affiliate group to kind of, adopt its own kind of independent existence and to sort of then ultimately spin off and become separated from the ASA. And, you know, of course, that was never our interest or intention. But so they wanted some, we had to be mindful that that the logo, whatever it was, had to have some demonstrable evidence that it's part of the ASA in it. And yeah, we were fully on board with that. They also, I think, wanted to have kind of a modular logo where it could be revised slightly and fit other affiliate groups and not have to go start from scratch on all of the logos. So with that in mind, this is what we ended up with. And so you can see definite, the fact that this is part of the American Scientific Affiliation, both with the words, the American Scientific Affiliation in the lower right-hand corner, but you can see the carryover of the arrows in the logo. And so we really felt like green would be a good color for biologists, so they let us do that. And then we tried to think of a graphic that would somehow represent biology well. And so eventually we hit upon the idea of the evergreen trees, and then you see the bird flying in the air next to it. And we're pretty happy with how that turned out. I don't know, have any other affiliate groups gotten started on logos yet?
Yeah, we haven't done.
Yeah. I suspect that it's going to, they're going to have a different circle with.
This is a template.
Yeah,
that we'll be using.
Right. Yeah, so we kind of got the ball rolling and.
Will the same thing apply to chapters?
The chapters have, within our branding document, some guidance on how to do it. So we can open up conversation to do something similar to this, but usually the chapters just have it's very similar to this, but it would have the chapter name on the left. Yeah. And it is part of the branding. So even the green color is within our branding document. And so there were guidelines that we definitely had to stick to.
So we've done some events so far. The first one, really, the first official event was the breakfast discussion at last year's annual ASA conference. We really, after that experience, we decided not to have a discussion during the meetup in this meeting just because of not being in a quiet, isolated place together. It didn't work. It would work not as well this year even as last year. Last year was had its challenges. This year wouldn't have worked out quite as well. But we still wanted people to have the opportunity to meet and socialize during a particular time for breakfast. We did have our first Zoom event was in January, and it was a follow-up discussion to the ASA Winter Symposium, and I think it was a good idea. What we tried to do is to ask the question, how could we use biology, you know, combine biology with the Christian faith in service for the church? The ASA Winter Symposium was about faith science interactions and in service for the church. We wanted to focus in on biology. We had three panelists. Dot was one of them. We had John Wood, and we had a scientist from Westmont University, whose name I'm not remembering, but she was excellent. So it was a great discussion. I must admit, I was a little disappointed with the turnout. There were some other events happening at the same time that probably drew some people away, but also just because we were so new, this was our first event. We did try getting the word out, but we just didn't quite get that many to come. Our second Zoom event was this past May, and here we had some guests from BioLogos and from Novare Science Publishing Company talk about faith science curriculum that could be used for grades 6 through 12, either at a Christian academy of some kind, you know, high school, middle school, or homeschooling. And we decided to invite not just members of the ASA and the ACB, but we decided to invite homeschooling groups. And a number of people that were involved in homeschooling groups did actually register. Somewhat less of them actually attended, but we had I think there were over 100 people that actually registered for it. And then we had, half or a third of those actually attended. It was a great discussion. They talked, BioLogos rep Faith Stoltz talked about the Integrate curriculum, and there was interest in that. And then Novare Science, who I had actually learned about them from I was considering a job opportunity with a Christian Academy high school in Indianapolis area, and I ultimately decided not to go there. But I had the opportunity to review several textbooks from Novare Science while I was doing that, and I thought, hey, this could be good. I like the way they handled the evolution topic, and this could be good. So that's why I picked them as the second guest for the faith science discussion. And I thought their presentations were excellent. We had some good questions. I think that it was a good event. We had more people attend. I was really happy with that. Then we also, as we were getting these other things going, this is a project that I mostly undertook. I really liked EndNote as a bibliographical database, and I wasn't quite as fond of the way the Perspectives on Science and the Christian Faith database turned out on the ASA website, and so I thought, it would really be helpful for me to have that database, but also the process of putting it together would just give me a deep dive into the 75 years that the journal has been in existence. And I wanted that. I wanted to kind of see how things have changed over time. And it was really interesting to me to do that. But so this database, you know, so I looked at every single issue of the journal for the 75 years or so that it's been in existence. I guess it's since 1949. And so the database includes all the articles. It includes all the book reviews since 2000. I thought, you know, we're starting to get kind of old on the books. So before 2000, there are no book reviews. All the editorials, all the letters to the editor, because I thought that was interesting to see what people were talking about. And so it's now in EndNote format, and I have it in a format that can be accessed if you are given permission to access it by a freely available EndNote web tool. I haven't, you know, I think I've alluded to this resource, but I haven't actually contacted the membership yet to say this is how you go about it. But what I would just say is send me an email if you're interested in access, and I will make you an approved user. I'll need your email address. That's basically it. And then you'll be able to access. I'll send you instructions on how to access it. And so you'll be able to do searches. One thing this doesn't have is a link to the article itself. And so if you're looking for that, you might be able to get that from the ASA's website. Certainly, that, you know, they have all the copies of the journal on the website, so you could access it that way. But in their database, they also have links, which are usually good links. I did utilize that database to help me with mine as well, in terms of being able to copy and paste some abstracts that were in HTML format, and I could easily get them before the PDFs were possible to copy and paste from the abstract. So they include abstracts as well. Every article includes the abstract. I had to manually type in a lot of them, but most of them were copy and pasted. So going forward, I feel like, you know, this has been a learning year, and we were just getting our feet wet. We want to be more active than we've been. So first thing, you know, again, I just announced we're making the EndNote database available. We'll make it available to all ACB members, all ASA members. I think there's a limit of 400 people that can access it for free. But, you know, whether 400 will actually want access, is, you know, we'll figure out something if that many actually are interested. We want to hold Zoom events. You know, we've had a couple. We'd like to do it maybe on an every other month basis. We recognize that there's some Zoom fatigue. You know, there's just too many Zoom meetings to attend. And, you know, we recognize that not everyone is going to want to regularly, you know, attend all these. But we do think that if the topic is compelling enough, people will come. And here's where we need a little bit of help, getting more input. You know, I think you know, although we put out pleas to people to provide input, we haven't really gotten a lot. And we really like to have more people engaged and maybe having positions of leadership within the affiliate group where they have an opportunity to provide direction and share ideas. And so we were thinking of starting special interest groups within the ACB, a way to break the group down, larger group down into smaller groups of like-minded folks that like talking about a certain area of biology. And so we thought, you know, if we form these groups, you know, we could have a leader of each of these groups and they could become part of, you know, a board within the ACB that would plan future events. You know, so they would solicit from the members in their special interest group ideas, and they, you know, they forward those on to the officers and the other members of the, whatever you call it, board of, probably not board of directors, that would get confusing with the ASA leadership, but we'll think of it. Well, we have officers, but we'd like to have other members that are recognized as having a position of leadership within the affiliate group that can channel input to us. And that could help us in deciding on future Zoom events that we might want to have, what topics, who would be good speakers. You know, I mean, it's so much better to have to expand the input on ideas on who might come and speak, you know, at a Zoom event. And so we're really kind of interested in that, and we're going to send out something hopefully soon to the membership by email, soliciting ideas for what kinds of special interest groups we might have. I mean, maybe even amongst those who are here today, we can have an opportunity to talk about that. We've also been doing a lot of thinking about developing a mentoring program. And this idea sort of was an outflow of a Zoom meeting that we as officers had with John Wood. And this was as we were discussing the idea of him participating as a panelist for the first Zoom event we had. But he just talked about how, you know, and in his role as executive director, when he was the acting executive director of the ASA, how he just had this wish that the ASA could help mentor scientists at each stage of their career, and that they could help, you know, provide them with support and help them with the faith integration challenges and just be there, you know, for fellowship and all that. And so from that idea, the idea of having some kind of mentoring program in the ACB was formulated. And we've sort of been piloting it in having Carlos, the vice president, mentor Angela Fletcher, the graduate student who's serving as secretary. And so they've been getting a lot of ideas about what a good mentoring program would look like. Frankly, we really feel like here again is an opportunity. We really desperately would like more input into what a mentoring program would look like and what kind of resources would mentors and mentees need, you know, to have that kind of relationship and what kind of resources exist already that might work? What kind of resources could be developed? And so those are things that we really I want to work on a bit this coming year. We also just simply want to continue recruiting more ACB members and looking for ways to get involved, for them to get involved. And, you know, I've talked to people. I've tried to for those who've approached me and with some thoughts, I've tried to suggest maybe that they might want to have a more active role in the ACB. There's just a lot of folks who are spread pretty thin, and we get that, we recognize that, but we would never want anyone to think that there's not an opportunity to be involved or to even have a leadership role within our group. We would just love that, actually. We want this to be something that's really serving needs in the ASA. And so you're going to hopefully hear from us more often than you did this past year. And, you know, we might be tapping on some of your shoulders saying, I think you would really be good at doing this or doing that. So don't be afraid to say no, but don't rule it out altogether. Give serious thought to maybe getting involved in that way. Well, that's all I really have to say. Are there any comments, any questions that anyone has?
How many people are on the listserv for the ACB?
I think it's about 100 or so.
In the system.
Yeah.
And then we keep a shorter list of those that have shown more of an interest. And there's probably about 20 on that one as potential officers.
Right.
So what I've really appreciated about Brian's leadership is that he calls us out when there's a need that is, for example, the logo. So attention to detail. And so we've had to think through how we address affiliations versus the chapters quite readily because of the activity that the ACB has been doing. So we really appreciate that. So I know that there's another presentation that some of you are interested in. I do have the guidebook if you're interested in a copy of it. This was going to be the latter part of this session was going to be taking a look at the guidebook. But I'll just make mention real quickly that the difference between the chapters and affiliates primarily is the affiliates can have members that are not ASA members. So that's one of the main differences. We can open up a conversation. I have one slide that I will share. Thank you, Dot and Jane, for being here. There's just another talk that they're getting to.
Great job, Brian.
Thank you.
So I'll just talk briefly about the affiliations that we currently have. We have the Christian Women in Science, we have the Christian Biologists, we have the Geology Group, and then Engineers and Scientists in Tech, and then the Affiliation of Ministers, Theologians, and Philosophers is what we had a presentation by Walter Ruggiero on that. So that's the difference between the chapters are done regionally, the affiliates are done by discipline. So what we're interested in doing is opening this up to other ideas on affiliations, on who we might be, maybe a chemistry group, or a mathematician group, or physicists. So as you are talking to colleagues, anyone showing an interest, direct them our way, and we will have a conversation with them.